Welcome to the Donna Sebo Show. Donna is an international mental practitioner, award-winning author, counselor, speaker, teacher, and radio TV personality. Dedicated to empowering others through her mental skills, she also features authors and experts from all over the world to share their knowledge and experience with you, the listening audience. Now, let's join Donna and her guests. Here's Donna.
Hello, and welcome to an hour of Mind Power. Well, we are really going to be having some fun today because my guest is BJ Gallagher. And as you know, the Donna Sebo Show is all about empowerment. And gee whiz, you gals out there, you're going to love this. The title of her book is Woman's Work is Never Done. Now, she had authored a book, Everything I Need to Know I Learned from Other Women, and she's carrying it on with this particular one. It's celebrating everything that women do. BJ, welcome to the show.
Hi, Donna. Thanks.
Now, you've been on my show before. And
yeah, a couple of times, I think.
Yes, you have. And you really enjoy writing, number one. But number two, you have been involved in business for a number of years, and you like to be creative in whatever you do. And when I saw this book, Women's Work is Never Done, Celebrating Everything That Women Do, I thought, what fun, because it is a book that would make a perfect gift for someone. What made you decide that you wanted to go this route?
Well, I think that we define work too narrowly in our culture, and particularly for women. I used to teach a life history class, and one of the assignments that I gave my students was to write about your life work. And one of the students came back and she said, well, before this class, I would have said that my life work was being a lab technician because that's what I was trained to do.
Mm-hmm.
What I see in writing this assignment, that my real life work is to prove that I'm not like my mother.
Oh, that's an interesting perspective.
And so what I saw was that life work is so much broader and encompassing than simply a career or a job. It can be soul work or psychic work or emotional work, that the work we do in the span of our lives, our 70 or 80 or 90 years, the real work may have nothing to do with how we earn money. The real work may be our contribution to our families, our kids, our community, or some artistic endeavor. And so I wrote this book to really give women a broader sense and help them think about what's their life work.
Now, I loved in your introduction a statement, and I can remember hearing this when I was just knee-high to a grasshopper, and it was about your mom and how she used to shake her head and sigh, women's work is never done.
Mm-hmm.
And that saying, I don't think, will ever disappear from the face of this planet, because women are indoctrinated almost from the moment they're born to be caretakers.
Yes.
And so for us, and I was just talking with someone about this morning, our work is never done. And I've often jokingly said there's always a toilet to clean, a baby to burp, somebody to talk to. You know, there's always something going on in
uh-huh.
a woman's life, where men are typically indoctrinated, where they are to be at the job.
Uh-huh.
And then when they retire, like someone, I know some men that have retired early, and then they go, what do I do with my life now? Unlike
right.
most women that will say, excuse me, don't bother me. Do you know how many things I've got to do before noon?
That's right. The difference between men and women is that working mothers have two full-time jobs.
Oh,
working
yes.
fathers have one full-time job.
Mm-hmm.
Fatherhood is not a full-time job for the vast majority of men.
Now, I loved your sentence in here, and again, it's in your introduction. We ovulate, we menstruate, we gestate, we procreate, we lactate, we meditate, we create, animate, illustrate, agitate, aggravate, debate, propagate, litigate, delegate, compensate, radiate, and emulate. Ladies, if you didn't know what you could do, there it is.
And some women even levitate and aviate.
Couldn't forget that, yes.
Oh, it's
then,
true, it's true.
No, it is true. But
no wonder we're tired.
But I think that is one of the things that empowers women on such a phenomenal level.
Mm-hmm.
And if men could learn from women about this,
mm-hmm.
I know they would never want to get pregnant, but if they could learn from us about different things, they would find if they get older, they're not going to have that feeling of not being worthy.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you do such a good job about talking about women, and you have a positively great page here that you said, thank goodness for women in the world who get it. What are they getting?
They just get how huge our job is. You know, they just get that women hold up more than half the sky. They just get it that if all the women on the world, on the planet, disappear, the place would go to hell in a handbasket really fast.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's absolutely true. That's absolutely true. My husband often relates how you don't need to have a whole bunch of guys around to keep the world populated. And he jokingly said, if we disappeared, it wouldn't be a problem too much.
That's right. That's right. Yeah, we just need a few little sperm donors, we'd be fine.
Anyway, and this isn't a bashing guy thing, but it's just I just get a kick out of this. Now, tips and tools for women at work. And I love this, because
mm-hmm.
you have this throughout your book
mm-hmm.
on Women's Work Is Never Done. To catch people doing something right. And I think that that's so easy because many, many women, and I can even relate to this in the years past, one, we're very hard on ourselves. That we will be very, very self-critical, almost to the point of paralyzing ourselves. But when we start looking for things that are okay, that are right,
mm-hmm.
it can cause a switch that's really big time.
Mm-hmm. That's right. This is a phrase that I got from my good friend Ken Blanchard, who wrote The 1 Minute Manager many, many years ago. That book must be 25 years old. And what he pointed out is that we are, in the business world, managers are always catching people doing something wrong
mm-hmm.
and pointing it out. And if they do something right, they just take it for granted. Like, well, hey, you're just doing your job. You're paid to do stuff right, so I'm not going to give you any special acknowledgement for it. And, you know, that's just not good management. I take it a step further and say, that's not good human relations. Because the human mind is a mismatch detector. We always notice what's wrong before we notice what's right, which makes us very quick to criticize one another and ourselves, and very slow to acknowledge or recognize one another. But we can retrain our minds, and you just watch what happens. If you started handing out compliments, genuine, authentic compliments, the way you hand out criticism, the people in your world would be transformed, and your world would be transformed. And we can learn to do that. And we start with ourselves.
Mm-hmm.
Catch ourselves doing something right and go, good girl, that was great the way you did that.
I think
it's a radical concept.
It really is, because, again, there is an indoctrination that goes on.
Mm-hmm.
And it is just forever. It
mm-hmm.
has been there forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because so frequently in history, women have been non-existent citizens,
mm-hmm.
you know, even though they got married and they had babies, the social situation, and that only changed about 30 years ago. It's
right.
not been that long. And the women in this country don't realize how fortunate they are.
Yeah.
But it is something that when you can empower yourself and appreciate yourself, then you're going to do such a wonderful job of being able to empower others. And
right.
I've just talked with so many women through my many years of counseling and public interaction that have such a down attitude about themselves. Their self-esteem is so weak. And you want to really help them to get past that. But it's really a do-it-yourself job. So when you do acknowledge that
yeah.
about yourself, oh, my goodness. And men can do the same thing, but they have a different way of acknowledging it. So women need to be able to make it okay to do it for themselves, and it's not being vain, it's not being narcissistic, it's just saying, hey, you did a good job.
Yeah, that's
congratulations.
Right.
Congratulations.
And there is a difference in how men and women think. When something goes wrong in a man's life, he looks around and goes, what the heck's wrong here?
Mm-hmm.
When something goes wrong in a woman's life, she says, what's wrong with me that I can't do X, Y, or Z? She looks at herself first. He looks at himself last. He looks around to find somebody to blame. She looks at herself to find somebody to blame.
And
if you look at history and culture, remember, it was Eve who's blamed for our departure from the Garden of Eden.
Oh, and don't you just love it? She got the apple from the tree of knowledge. That's what I really
like. That's right.
She was the one who said, let's find out, fella. Let's grow up here. But anyway.
She gets blamed for everything. And the French have this saying, when you're trying to solve a crime, they say, cherchez la femme, which means look for the woman, because that will be the source of the problem.
Uh-huh.
And, of course, mothers get blamed for everything.
Of course.
Mothers are very easy targets.
Absolutely. You have a statement in here by Oprah that I really liked. You know what real power is? Real power is when you are doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing the best it can be done. Authentic power.
Mm-hmm.
There's a surge. There's a kind of energy field that says, I'm in my groove. And nobody has to tell you, you go, girl, because you know you're already gone.
That's right. And if there's anybody who's already gone, it's Oprah. I mean, she's flying high. She's amazing, that woman.
I think what is so wonderful about her is that she is so open about her own vulnerability.
Yes.
And she has been willing to explore. She's fallen down. She's had all kinds of situations go on in her life. And she has had that integrity of communication with other people,
mm-hmm.
and being such a public figure, there aren't many public figures that can do that.
Right, right. Well, we love her because she is us. You know, she has a weight problem. She's a woman of color. She's single. She doesn't have a husband to support her. I mean, she's got all the disadvantages that one could have, or many of the disadvantages one could have in our society. And she made a success of herself in spite of that. And that gives the rest of us hope that, oh, it's not about weight. It's not about being beautiful. It's not about being white. It's about something inside yourself. It's about
mm-hmm.
talent and creativity and energy and ambition and hope and faith. That's what makes her so great.
Speaking of Oprah and talking about the type of person that she represents, you have in your question, what does it mean to be authentic? And you have it broken down by letter. A is aware, U is understand, T is tactful, H is honest, E is empathetic, N is natural, T is tuned in, I is intimate, and C is caring.
Mm-hmm.
What made you put those words together?
Well, I love, those are called acrostics, and I love writing them. And that's where you, in fact, the whole book is an acrostic. The acrostic for the book is the alphabet. Women's Work is Never Done, and I just ran it down A through Z.
Mm-hmm.
So authentic is also an acrostic that spells out, so that the first letter of each word spells out another word. So when I started thinking about what does it mean to be an authentic person, I think I'm one of the most authentic people I know. I started thinking about what is it that makes me authentic? Well, I'm aware. I understand myself and others. I'm tactful and at the same time honest. I'm empathetic. I'm natural. I'm tuned in. I'm intimate. I'm caring. I just started thinking about what are the qualities that go to making up a person who's authentic.
Well, I think you did a good job. You have a section, which is really something that is, I think, very meaningful. It's heed our own intuitive wisdom.
Mm-hmm.
And you quoted Catherine Butler.
Mm-hmm.
And her quote is, it's only by following your deepest instinct that you can lead a rich life. And if you let your fear of consequence prevent you from following your deepest instinct, then your life will be safe, expedient, and thin.
Yes.
What a powerful statement that is.
Yes. Well, I love great quotes. And one of the things I have found in looking through books of quotes and the quotes that other authors use, they're almost always by men. They're famous men. They're corporate leaders, political leaders, movie stars. So I deliberately went looking for quotes from women, some famous women, some not so famous women, because women have so much wisdom, and women also very often have a flair for words. They have a flair for the language.
Mm-hmm.
And I just filled this book with as many terrific female quotes as I could stuff in there.
Tell us about Blue Hawaii. I thought that story about you and Jeff was so good. You've got to share that.
Okay. This guy, Jeff Garrow, is a colleague of mine. He's a psychologist, and we were scheduled to do a workshop at a conference. And we had booked it many, many months in advance, and he said, "You want to do this?" And I said, "Sure, that'd be great. That'd be great." He's a terrific guy to work with, and I thought it'd be a lot of fun. But as the months rolled by and we got closer and closer to the conference, I kept having this sense like, I don't want to do it, or, you know, I'm not supposed to do it, or it doesn't feel right to me. There was just some, I started to feel this resistance like, I shouldn't be doing this. But I had no logical reason why. I didn't have a conflict on the date. It wasn't for lack of funds. I didn't have any good reason not to go, except my intuition kept saying, don't go. Don't go. It's not for you. You're not supposed to go. So finally I called him up one day. I think it was just a few weeks before the conference, and I said, you're probably going to shoot me, but I can't go. And he said, why? And I said, well, here's why. I don't have a logical reason why, but my intuition is telling me I shouldn't go. And you of all people will understand. He's a very spiritual guy. And he said, you're right, I do. He said, no problem. I can handle it. It'll be fine. You know, whatever you need to do is whatever you need to do, and I'll do the workshop. And I said, terrific. And at that point, I just sort of put it out of my mind. And then one day, I got a call from my mother. She's in San Diego. And she said, your stepfather's had a heart attack. I said, oh, I'll be right there. So I hopped in the car, drove 2 hours south from Los Angeles, got there, and I was with her in the hospital, and I was able to be with her. And at one point, I was standing by the nurse's station talking to one of the nurses, and I happened to look down at the desk calendar that she had on her desk. And I noticed this was the day I was supposed to be at that conference in Hawaii to do the workshop. And I thought, oh, this is why I wasn't supposed to go.
Mm-hmm.
I'm supposed to be here with my family.
And so frequently, when we do that, and it's happened to me so many times, there are very few women I've ever talked with that haven't had something similar occur, because we just have that
women's intuition.
That's right. We have it there, and we just need to pay attention to it. And I was discussing that with someone this morning, how they needed to be more aware and more attentive to their intuition, because it is something we're naturally endowed with.
Yes.
And when you pay attention, then it becomes stronger. It's like learning how to drive.
Right.
If you drive once every 10 years, you're not going to feel as confident as you do if you are out driving every day.
Mm-hmm.
So it's when you can pay attention, it is going to work for you. You have also a section on humor. And you, again, in your book, Women's Work is Never Done, you've got, it makes a wonderful gift for somebody.
Thank you.
All of these little bits of conversation, storytelling, quotes. You've got these wonderful, wonderful poems. It's really fun to read. But having a sense of humor, boy, so often we take ourselves so seriously. And we need to be able to have a sense of humor. I've got a wonderful friend. She sends me some of the goofiest garbage you could ever imagine. And I will just sit there and I will laugh myself silly.
Yes.
And I mean, it's really, you know, I say goofy garbage, because it's not something necessarily that I'd be going and look for, but it makes my day.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how she finds this stuff, and I just chuckle at this.
Right. Well, one of my favorite quotes is by Sandra Magsiman, who's an artist, and she says, angels can fly because they take themselves lightly.
Mm-hmm.
And I love that. And I think if we all took ourselves, we take life seriously, but take yourself lightly, and, you know, maybe you too could fly.
Absolutely. And there is a challenge for so many women when they find that, and this is something you address in your book in a very nice way, when they find that their children are growing up and leaving home, they're in this cycle of change, and it's like a whole new opportunity for them. Women are living so much longer, and where maybe at a point in time, it wasn't all that long ago, if they lived past 35, that was a miracle.
That's right.
And here we are in our generation where the likelihood of our living to be 100 or more is high.
Yeah.
And that means you go through this cycle where your children grow up, you're in your 50s or 60s, you know, whatever, whenever you started your family. So many women are starting families later in life.
Mm-hmm.
And then they're gone and you go, now what do I do?
Mm-hmm.
Heck,
mm-hmm.
Get a life. Get out there. Do the things you've always wanted to do because you're not old anymore.
Right. I've always thought that women who make their husband and their children the sole focus of their lives are making a mistake because we do live a long time, and ultimately I can guarantee you the children will leave, but sometimes the husbands do too. They die or they divorce or, you know, stuff happens. And so a woman needs to make herself the center of her own life so that the center never falls out.
That is so important. And when you meet women who are not willing to do that, it's something, you know, that when they're not willing to invest in themselves, when they are putting everything out for everybody else, when everybody else suddenly is gone,
mm-hmm.
and they could pass away, like you said. I had an email from someone this past week who said, I've had a friend of 40 years. They've died. They've gone, you know, they're no longer around me. And they're going through this big adjustment because that's something that happens when you get older.
Yep.
So how are you going to empower yourself? Well, one of the ways is to put yourself in environments that's going to enable you to meet younger people, new people.
Mm-hmm.
Just because you're in your 60s, 70s, or 80s doesn't mean you're an old fogey anymore.
That's right. That's right. Besides, 60 is the new 40.
That's true. That's true. It is amazing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And when you find women and men, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
The men that are awakening to the reality, they don't have to be this dodgy old character.
Right.
They don't need to go in for plastic surgery necessarily, but if they take care of themselves, they've got a lot to do.
Yeah.
They're needed.
Yes.
And that is wonderful. I really think that your book is great. One of the things you cover is how to manage money, working with money, and that a man is not a financial plan.
Don't you love it? That's one of my favorite quotes.
Oh, a man is not a financial plan.
That's right. A man is not a financial plan. I almost fell over when I heard that a banker told me that.
Mm-hmm.
And I went, oh, my God.
That's right.
Because I was taught that a man was a financial plan.
Absolutely. And it has been, believe it or not, it is still being taught. There are young women that are still thinking that if they're married, then their husband's going to provide for them and they don't have to worry about anything.
Yep.
And you want to go, excuse me.
That's
Let's
risky.
Have a good talk here.
That's risky.
I've known young women that have been widows at the age of 30. I've known young women who have had husbands that have been incapacitated physically and have had 3 or 4 children.
Yep.
So I've had women whose husbands have just disappeared into the ethers.
Yep.
I mean, there's all kinds of things that can go on. And I feel it's so important that women be supportive of
right.
themselves and understand that, yes, this is being selfish to a degree, but there's an art to selfishness. In fact, there was a book titled that, Art,
yes.
The Art of Selfishness.
Yeah.
And it has value.
Right. I remember reading years ago a quote from Germaine Greer who said that until the woman has her own money, she doesn't have her own life. And I didn't understand it when I first read that, because at the time I didn't have my own money. I went right from my father's house to my husband's house. And, you know, it wasn't until I left my husband, went to college, and then finally started a career. I didn't start working in my career until I was 30. And I'll never forget, I got that first paycheck, and I held it in my hand, and I went, "Ah, Jermaine, now I know what you were talking about."
Mm-hmm.
That I had earned my own money, and in the process earned self-respect, self-confidence, and had a feeling of security that no matter what happens, I can secure a job. No
mm-hmm.
matter what happens, I can take care of myself.
That's very important.
It's a very powerful feeling.
It's an extremely powerful feeling because it gives a person, and I would say this is male or female,
mm-hmm.
it gives that person an awareness of self-sufficiency that enables them to hold their head up and say, no matter what, I can make it.
Right.
And I think women do not realize how important they are
mm-hmm.
as individuals.
Mm-hmm.
And if women want changes, they need to understand they're the ones that implement it because we have a significant amount of power. And that is something that I call personal power. And when you recognize that, you do not have to go through any kind of abuse. You do not have to tolerate unnecessary environments that are not right or healthy. There's a lot of things that you can do, but it's only when you empower yourself. And when you empower yourself, you're going to empower everyone that's around you because women like to share.
I agree. I agree. Well said.
I just think that's so important. Well, woman's work is never done, celebrating everything women do. BJ, what's your website so anybody listening could go to it?
It is www.womenneedtoknow.com. And the two is the number two, womenneedtoknow.com.
Womenneedtoknow.com,
mm-hmm.
and the two is the number
two. It's the number two.
And BJ Gallagher's book is Woman's Work is Never Done, Celebrating Everything Women Do. And she's got some other delightful books that she's put out, too. So when you go in, just peruse around her website and check it out. BJ, before we leave, is there any special statement you'd like to leave my audience with?
Yes, I'd like to just come back to that story about catching yourself doing something right. That if I was going to empower you to do something, it's each and every day, look for the positive. Look what you're doing right and reach over and pat yourself on the back for it. Even if it's something, you know, small. You went to the grocery store, you got an extra hour of sleep, you got a manicure, whatever it is. Good girl. You're taking care of yourself. Good girl. Catch
mm-hmm.
yourself doing something right.
Yes. And if you find that you're in school or you're doing something that's requiring a discipline that you've not exerted before, take it one day at a time. It's just so important. BJ, this has been a delight having you as a guest. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Donna.
And this is Donna Sebo. We're going to be taking a break. Don't go away. We've got more good things to share. We'll be right back.
If you're searching for the perfect gift for a child, consider God's Kiss by Donna Sebo. That's right. Donna is not only a mental practitioner and psychic, she's an author as well. God's Kiss beckons all children and the young at heart to enter the dream world of a little traveler named Johnny. You can order your book today by sending a check or money order to Mrs. Sebo's Classics, Post Office Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497. That's Post Office Box 97272. Tacoma, Washington, 98497. If you'd like both the book and cassette, you pay $19.95 plus applicable tax and shipping charges. This is the book for your favorite child of any age. Donna Sebo's God's Kiss is about a child's sense of place in the world, and it's destined to be a children's classic. Order now. Call 800-872-8852. God's Kiss is written by Donna Sebo and illustrated by Ed Ged Rose. Buy it today. 800-872-8852.
Are you concerned about nutrition? Do you work hard to eat right, try to feed yourself and your family nutritious food? Well, you'll want to know about glyconutrients. What are they? These are sugars that are present in nature, however, we're not getting them in our food anymore. Scientific study is proving that these sugars are necessary for all cellular and immune system function. Over 20,000 studies are conducted each year on glycoforms alone. These are the sugar protein structure that line each and every cell of the body. 4 out of the last 8 Nobel Prizes in physiology have been awarded for research in the area of cellular communication and how these sugars work in the body. This is Donna Sebo. Every day I bring to you information that will empower and light up your life. I would like to invite you to visit my website, DelphiInternational.com, and find out more about these glyconutrients. That's DelphiInternational.com. Go to my website, go to the left side of the screen, tap on the button that says glyconutrients. MIT's Technology Review, February 2003, states that glycomics is one of the 10 emerging technologies that will change the world. Education is the key to advancement of understanding and making our lives better. Visit my site, DelphiInternational.com. Go to the left side of the screen and tap on the button that says glyconutrients. I know it'll make a difference for you, as it has for me.
Hi, this is Donna Sebo, and if you'd like for me to light up your life with a little bit of intuitive insight, hey, give me a buzz. I'm at 877-876-5227 or Canada 888-815-9756, also 530-876-3222. And if you're a new listener, remember all I need from you is your first name or your initial. That's it. I don't need anything else, and then I'll be happy to give you my mental impressions, and then you're welcome when I'm finished to ask me a question about anything that you like. I'm an information resource, and I'm delighted to share that with you when we're on the air. So again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. Well, a big event is coming up in which I am going to be a participant. It's the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo, the conference and film festival. It's being held February 8th through February 11th at the LAX Hilton at 5711 West Century Boulevard in Los Angeles. The telephone number to call for information is 800-367-5777, or you can go to their website, ConsciousLifeExpo.com. Now, this is going to be an awesome expo. It's bringing together all kinds of speakers like the Peaceful Warrior, Dan Millman, Lisa Williams, George Norrie, Sri Ranji, Richard Hoagland, Daniel Brinkley, Vaishali, and there's just so many more. And I'm also going to be speaking there. I will have a booth as well. They're going to have a spiritual comedy night. There's a conscious business symposium and yoga classes that are going to be held daily. This is a dynamic event. If you're in the Los Angeles area or close enough where you can go, I encourage you to participate because it is going to be a lot of fun. And I'll be getting you more details about my booth, etc., as we get closer to the time of the event. But mark it on your calendars, February 8th through the 11th at LAX Hilton, the 6th Annual Conscious Life Expo Conference and Film Festival. 800-367-5777 or go to their website, ConsciousLifeExpo.com, if you're interested in getting your tickets early. Donna Sebo here again, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756 or 530-876-3222. Now, I do want to let those of you know that are listening from California, I have 2 trips to California. You can go to my website, and you'll find on my calendar the information about the dates when I'm going to be there. Also, there is a big expo in the Seattle area that I've been invited to participate in. And at each of these expos, by the way, I'm going to be doing a live broadcast, so it's going to be right there on site. And we're going to be talking with a lot of very, very interesting people. So go to my website, DelphiInternational.com, and you can find out all about my schedule. I am planning on coming up to Alaska in the early part of spring, so just know that all of that information will be put there. It's also in my newsletter, so as everything solidifies with exact dates and locations, you'll be made aware of it. Would you want to test your cat's IQ? Well, I think cats are smart anyway. But I just got such a kick out of this because I thought, wouldn't this be fun to try? And you can do what they call feline intelligence tests. And I just thought, this is really something. Of course, I know you have absolutely nothing else to do with your kitty cat, but you might have fun with this. This might be a lot of fun. When your cat's hungry, this is one thing that you can do. You put 3 cups down, one marked clearly with an X. Now, this is a suggestion by Diana Guerrero, who's an animal behavioralist. Show her her treat, put it under the marked cup, and let her knock it over. And repeat it twice. The fourth time, skip the treat and see if she still looks under the X. If she does, then that means that she's paid attention to everything that's there. A lot of times people don't take cats observed that much, but they are extremely observant. And then also, another experiment to try is put your cat's toy in a paper bag and see how it goes, how he or she goes about getting it. The more creative the cat is, jumping, chewing, or clawing the bag, the better. Why? Because when they're doing that, it means they are using their brain power and are trying to figure things out, and they're very much more adaptable. Another test you can do is to take an unfamiliar object like an open umbrella, put it in your cat's favorite space, and watch as she responds to it when she enters her favorite area, and give her a point each for stalking, sniffing, and patting it. If she spends more than 3 minutes at it, she's a genius. How do you like that? You might have a genius cat. Now, why is she a genius? Smart cats instinctively know how to be cautious of new things. And then there's also the last game that I have in front of me here. It's called the Gimme Game. Flo often does what your cat asks for what he wants. Or how often does your cat ask for what he wants, such as food, affection, or play? The more, the better. And Diane Guerrero says, the way to measure a cat's IQ is to see how well he or she manipulates the owner. Also, cats love to watch television. My Scottish Terriers, they love to watch television. They especially love the animal shows. That's not a big surprise. But you may really be amazed how intelligent your cats really are. And of course, I've had a number of experiences with cats, and they're quite amazing. There was a special program on a cable channel, and I don't recall the title of it. It was just on this past week, and it's about lions of the desert, and how they have been unlike any other lion tribe. They have been explorers. They have like a 100-mile territory or more, and the tribes don't stay together, but they come together every so often. They have done a behavioral shift that is unprecedented, and the man that's done the research on these wild lions has absolutely been amazed. They are totally different from what we typically have seen portrayed by lions. And they just entered a whole area of country where they used to be abundant, but there has been devoid of them for many, many generations. And they've rediscovered it. Absolutely fascinating. And what's even more fascinating is how the native people of the area are learning how to live. And this is in Africa. They're learning how to live with the lions in cooperative patterns. It's quite a fascinating show. I wish I could tell you the name of it, but I can't. It's escaping me. I don't recall. But it was on this past week. So if you have a chance, if you see anything about the desert lion, watch it. It's absolutely awesome. Donna Sebo here. Give me a call if you want to chat. 877-876-5227. That's 877-876-5227. Also, Canadians, 888-815-9756. That's 888-815-9756. And then we have a direct line of 530-876-3222. I want to let you know about who's coming up next week. We're going to be talking about condo buying and ownership of same. Kay Sine is going to be my guest on Monday. This lady is savvy. So if real estate is of interest to you, you're not going to want to miss this. Also, we're going to be talking with George McMullen on Tuesday, Born Many Times, a fascinating book that I think will keep you really interested. On Wednesday, we're going to be talking to two people, Danyon Brinkley and Brian McClure. Both of these gentlemen are going to be contributing some very interesting points and information we'll be sharing. And then on next Thursday, we'll be talking about scams. Mm-hmm. Have you ever been affected by a scam? Do you know of anybody who's been a victim of same? Well, Eve Edelson is a woman who has done extensive research, and she can light up your life with information on that subject, and you'll really be glad. Then one of my favorite musicians, Gary Malkin. We're going to be talking about his awesome book, Graceful Passages, and we will even be playing some pieces from that. So that's going to be coming up. So we've got just a wonderful, wonderful lineup of people. Tell your friends, and also remember, if you miss any of the shows, you're going to be able to hear them at your convenience by going to our archives here at bbsradio.com. That's right, we have them archived. They're up within 24 hours, and then you can listen to it at your leisure. Any show that you want to listen to, it's going to be available to you. So just keep that in mind. You don't have to miss anything. If you should happen to miss the live broadcast, just know you can always go in and listen to it later on. I've got a wonderful story here about a 14-year-old boy. This really impressed me because so frequently we are hearing about how the youth is just going down the tubes. I was reading material, reviewing material yesterday morning. We're talking about teachers that are cheating and how the education of the young people is just so poor, and it went on and on and on. Well, when I came across this story about this young man, I said, we need to know about the kids that are out there that are doing good things. We need to know about the young people that have a sense of pride of who they are and of their family, etc. So I'm going to be sharing this with you, and I want to give out the number again if you want to chat with me, 877-876-5227 or 888-815-9756. This is a young man, Nicholas Ryder. He lives in my home turf area, Monroe, Washington, and he asked his granddad, when he had a chance to visit with him once, Grandpa, what did you do during the war? And, of course, he was talking about the Second World War. And when he asked that question, it started him in a direction that he never thought or even imagined he would experience. Nicholas Ryder is 14 years old, and he published his first book. How did it come about? It was because of his grandfather. His grandfather, as I said, was a veteran of World War II, and he said, I loved building model airplanes, and I used to always ask my granddad about, you know, what happened in the war, but he didn't seem to want to talk too much about it. He would just say, well, not a whole lot. He enlisted at the age of 17, went through boot camp in San Diego, and then he attended radio and radar school and was en route to Qingdao, China, when he became sick with jungle rot while he was crossing the Pacific. So he ended up being in Guam for 6 months and came home at the end of the war. He said his biggest thrill was sailing under the Golden Gate Bridge and knowing he was back in his home turf, the good old USA. Now, we're going to be taking a break for a moment. When I come back, I'm going to share the rest of this story with you because it's a significant one. 14-year-old boy, his first book, and it started because of his grandfather. We're going to find out more about how that happened. Donna Sebo here. We're going to take a break. We'll be right back.
As a counselor, Donna Sebo is available for private consultations by appointment. These can be done by telephone or in person. If you'd like to schedule an appointment with Donna, call 253-582-5604 or 800-872-8852. That's 253-582-5604 or outside of Pierce County, 800-872-8852.
Hi, this is Donna. Nicholas Ryder, as I was telling you, was talking to his granddad And his granddad happened to have some photos of some of his buddies that were taken during the war. And he said, "Wow, I wonder if there are any other friends of Dad's that maybe my granddad, maybe they would talk to me." So he said, Veterans Day was coming up, and he took his autograph album, and he decided he would go in front of his local supermarket, thinking maybe he'd get a few signatures. And he introduced himself to a couple of men, he said, who looked like vets. And the reason he said they looked like vets is that they were wearing special hats or had on a special patch. And he was surprised. Here he was, a 14-year-old kid, and these older men were saying, "We'd be happy to talk to you." And he found out some things. He found these veterans wouldn't just talk about World War II. Some had fought in Korea, some in Vietnam, some in the Gulf War, and some in Iraq. Nicholas said the idea hit him. He went to his mom and he said, "Mom, I want to make a book of their stories." His mother thought it was a fabulous idea, so what she agreed to do was to become the secretary, chauffeur, and to be his agent. Moms could do a pretty good job of that. So what she did, she drove Nicholas to retirement communities, different nursing homes, homes of friends, and everywhere that Nicholas went, he was talking to veterans. And for those that he wasn't able to visit, he had put together a questionnaire. He wanted to know what they had done during the war, and they would send him responses. One of the men that responded to his questionnaire had been a POW in Germany. Another had been on the destroyer, a destroyer, in Pearl Harbor on December 7th, 1941, and survived, obviously. One soldier celebrated his 27th birthday in a foxhole during the invasion of Normandy. He said, "It was just amazing, the stories that these men were telling me." And he said, "One of the most vivid was from a Marine that described the landing on the beach at Iwo Jima." And this soldier said, "We saw landing craft being blown up, bodies and metal flying everywhere. The sea turned red." Said rifle shells were hitting the side of the craft, and we stayed hunkered down inside waiting for the boat to hit the beach. There was so much crossfire, no way anyone could move. Shells, bullets, shrapnel, everything was flying. So much in the middle of the metal, in the air. The soldier said he didn't know how anyone even survived. A lot of the vets that Nicholas interviewed said that they felt only by the grace of God that they'd survived. Because one thing Nicholas found out that really impressed him about all of these veterans is not one of them glorified war or bragged about what they did. One of the veterans that responded to his questionnaire said, "I do not like war. I served in Korea. I do not like the killing and maiming of good men and women." He said, "But I don't know how we could have avoided doing what we did to keep our country safe when talking and diplomacy don't do it." Nicholas is quite a young man. He has handwritten more than 700 letters. 700 letters this kid wrote to 118 veterans in his book. He's been on talk shows. People have written articles about Nicholas. But he said, "The book I've put together is really for the men and women who shared their often difficult and painful memories with me." He said, "They've become my friends." And he said, "I call the book America's True Heroes because that's what they are. Their stories have inspired me." He said, "It wasn't too long ago that the soldier who spent his birthday in a Normandy foxhole died. He was in his late 80s. But one of the last things his daughter did for him was to give him a copy of Nicholas's book, showing him the page where his story was printed. And she said, 'Dad, this is your story.' She said, 'It was my birthday present to him.' And he said, 'I'm thrilled.'" What a wonderful gift. Nicholas Ryder, a 14-year-old, said, "No one should forget what they've done. I firmly believe that without these brave people, America wouldn't be as we know it today. They deserve our thanks. And the book is my way of doing that." Nicholas dedicated the book to his heroes, his vet grandfather John Henry and his grandmother June. He said they never run out of hugs, encouraging words, or treats. Now, since the book was published, Nicholas has appeared on all kinds of radio stations, done a lot of book signings, and even received a thank you letter from President Bush. Currently, he's a member of the Civil Air Patrol and is working to earn his pilot's license. And he is preparing to write a follow-up book. He said, my next book will probably be about Vietnam vets or maybe a series on World War I. Nicholas Ryder, a 14-year-old out of Monroe, Washington, that has done something exceptional. Don't ever lose faith in the young people in this world, and don't be ever afraid to share your stories with them. That's the legacy that as an older adult you have to leave with them. And I think Nicholas did something so phenomenally special that it just gives me a lot of satisfaction to be able to share this story. And I'm so glad that it was brought to my attention. Remember, all of us were young ones. And when you have young people like this, they make you realize that if you have one, you have many. So have faith in them, support them, believe in them, because they are going to have a world that they are going to have to manage. And if you help and support them in the right way, they're going to be able to do it very, very well, and we'll all be quite proud of them. This is Donna Sebo. Give me a buzz if you want to chat, 877-876-5227, also 888-815-9756. And I was looking for some material that somebody had sent me, and I have misplaced it for the moment, but I wanted to share something with you that I came across. It's a little bit of trivia, and I had to chuckle at it because it was just really interesting. One is to choose the healthiest location for a hospital in 9th century Baghdad. Boy, am I glad we're living as we are now. To do this in Baghdad in the 9th century, doctors would hang pieces of meat at possible sites. The location where the meat last turned rotten was the one that they chose. Why? If you didn't have the bugs, then you weren't going to have the infections. Pretty good logic, if you ask me. There are so many things that we're not aware of in this world of ours that have gone on, and we pat ourselves on the back thinking that we're the ones that developed something brand new, but we always stand on the shoulders of those that go before us. We always do. Somewhere, someone has done something to give us that point of inspiration where we can take whatever we have in knowledge and move forward. It's been going on for generations, and it'll continue to be that way. Oh, and also, I wanted to share something about a patriot, Patrick Henry. This one, I really had to chuckle on. Patriot Patrick Henry. You know the guy, the one that said, give me liberty or give me death. Now, when he died, he had a will, and he left his estate to his wife as long as she didn't take the liberty of remarrying after his death. Interesting attitude. This is how he felt about it. It would make me unhappy to feel I've worked all my life to support another man's wife. She didn't care. He was gone. She said, forget that stuff. She forgot all about money. She said, and she got remarried. A decisive woman, Patrick Henry was married to, very much so. Well, this is Donna Sebo. I know this is Friday, and you have got an utterly fabulous weekend that you are going to be enjoying. Remember always, you're the master of your fate. You are the captain of your soul. Don't ever forget that you have something unique to offer. No matter whether you're male or female, it doesn't make any difference. We've been sort of focusing on the gals today. But realize, whoever you are, you have a very special place in this experience of life. And in that place, if you give it your best, you will never, ever be secondary in life. Not ever. Because when you give your best, that's always first class. Wherever you are, whatever you do. Have a fabulous weekend. be back with you on Monday. We'll be talking real estate. Bye for now.
You have been listening to The Donna Sebo Show. If you would like a copy of today's broadcast, send $10 to The Donna Sebo Show, P.O. Box 97272, Tacoma, Washington, 98497-0272. Be sure to put the date of the broadcast in your request. If you are not able to be a part of today's program, join Donna and her guests Monday through Friday, and she will be here to take your calls. Thank you for listening and being part of our program. Have a wonderful day.